My text this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And if I should put a title on my sermon this morning, I guess I would have to say something to the effect of, "We're called, now what?" Whenever I felt the call into the ministry, that was not exactly my response. I kept having this something in my soul that said, go on into the ministry. Because I was already a lay speaker. I was already a lay leader. And whenever it was like God saying, how many times have I got to tell you? And I kept saying, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. Because I was happy filling in for the preacher every once in a while. I was happy.
Huh? That's the same thing you said when I asked you to marry
him. Yes, matter of fact, I did. The night he asked me to marry him, I looked at him. I said, are you kidding me? But that was 47 years ago, and we're still together, so I guess he was serious. But you make it so hard to preach when you get off on one of your tangents. But we ask ourselves, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. And that's what Jeremiah was saying in our study today. He didn't say, God, you got to be kidding. But he said, God, I'm just a boy. You know, Samuel said the same thing back in 1 Samuel when God called him. He went in there and he asked Eli, he said, did you call me? Eli says, no, go back to bed, boy. So he goes back to bed. A few minutes later, this voice says, Samuel. So Samuel gets up and he runs back in there and he says, yes, my Lord. He says, I told you I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And I got to thinking, you know, that's kind of like probably like Amanda and Ricky does Christian. Mama, did you call me? No, go get into bed. Few minutes, here he comes again. Daddy, did you call me? No, Christian, go back to bed. And imagine that's the way Eli thought whenever Samuel kept going in there and just hounding him to death. But something clicked. And Eli told him, he says, the next time that happens, says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so he did. And we all know the story about how that God spoke to Samuel. Well, Jeremiah's situation was somewhat different than what Samuel's was, because Samuel was living in the house with Eli the priest. And although Jeremiah was of a Levite family, the family of Benjamin, they were all priestly people. Jeremiah's calling was totally different. Jeremiah was just dumbfounded whenever the Lord spoke to him. I want to go ahead and read my text from Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The book of Jeremiah is probably one of the longest books in the Bible. And I thought, well, you know, all of this stuff is happening to him. He's seeing all of these things. God's telling him all of this stuff to go and tell the people. And believe me, God had a lot to say through the prophet Jeremiah. The part of Jeremiah's book that I want to focus on today is in chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And I want you to notice these words, the prominence of the pronoun I. And notice that this is God talking. This is not Jeremiah talking. God is saying, I formed you. I know you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. I send you. I command you. And I love this part. I am with you. He did not send Jeremiah out on a limb by himself. He says, I am with you. There is no way that I would even think of getting up and speaking to a group of people unless I had the assurance the Lord is right here with me. When he calls us into ministry, regardless of what kind of ministry it is, he reaches out just like he did to Jeremiah, and he touches our mouth, he touches our heart, he touches our soul, and he says, I am with you. I am putting my words in your mouth. So don't be afraid. He told Jeremiah, he says, you can't expect everybody to like you. And I would be totally delusional if I got up here to preach and I said, I love you with the love of my Lord. And I know that all of you just love me to death. I'm not that stupid. Because any time that you have somebody telling the good news of Jesus Christ, you're going to have, there's 38 of us here this morning. And I would venture to say that there's probably 38 totally different opinions about this preacher. But I'm not asking you to form an opinion about me. I'm asking you to form an opinion about your relationship with Jesus Christ. How is it? How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And we look at Jeremiah. He's just a boy. He's scared to death. But God says, I'm putting my words in your mouth. Jeremiah knew that as a prophet of God, that he was going to have to tell people things that they did not want to hear. He was going to have to tell them about the judgment of God, that if you do not obey God, God will destroy you. He knew that was part of the message that he had to deliver. But he liked that other part, and I love that other part too. It's a part where the minister gets to tell the people, God loves you unconditionally. It does not make any difference whatsoever what you do, what you say. I'm not going to love you any less, and I'm not going to love you any more. I love you perfectly, just the way you are. That should be a tremendous encouragement to each one of us today that God loves us where we are. And do you know something? I like this part too. God didn't just call me into ministry. God didn't just call singers into ministry. Do you know that God called every last one of us into some type of ministry? I see it over and over again, every day. When I talk to Christian people, every one of us have a ministry. Some work with youth or preschool or older adults. Some attend to the church's physical facility. And thank God for people like Brother Don and Donnie that get out there and are willing to work with their hands to maintain our structure of our church. I praise God for them. We have people that work with the finances of the church. And I praise God for them. Because Daniel can tell you, I am not a financial genius. By any stretch, don't you say a word. By any stretch of the imagination. And some work not only in our church community, but they work throughout the city. Some work with homeless. Some work with feeding the hungry. Some work to lead others to worship God through music. Some are called to be teachers. Some are called to be doctors or nurses. Others are called to be good parents or grandparents or just a good neighbor that's always there to assist the people around you. There's not one person in the church community who has not been called by God. All of us, just like Samuel and Jeremiah, are known by God. God knows every one of us on a first name basis. He knows Daniel. He knows Janice. He knows Zion. He knows Ellie. He knows us all. And all of us have been called to a specific task. God will supply everything that we need to fulfill our calling. And when we do fulfill our calling, then the life that we live will not only be good for us, but it'll be good for the people around us. It'll be good for the other people of God. When we obey and are obedient to the call that God has placed in our life, it causes a unity within the body of Christ. I cannot be a pastor on my own. I need every one of you. I depend on every one of you. I depend on the fact that I know that God hears and answers my prayer. But when I come up against something that I don't know how to handle, I can pick up that phone and I can say, Tina, pray for me. I got a situation that I can't handle on my own. I need prayer. And anybody else, I can pick up that phone and say, I need prayer. Or there's a situation over here on the other side of town that we all need to pray about. We have a prayer chain. And that serves a magnificent purpose. Because when two or three come together, things happen. When we join together in prayer, we watched that movie War Room a while ago. And that couple's life was falling apart. But whenever they realized that they had put Christ at the center of what was happening in their life, in their marriage, God intervened. God is the answer to any situation, any problem that we may have. Jeremiah's task was particularly hard because he was having to go and he was having to prophesy to a bunch of people that were not just disgruntled, they were displaced. Because these people had just gone into Babylonian captivity. Their homes had been destroyed. Everything around them was just a big old pile of rubble. But yet they were turned into false gods. They were grasping at straws to find some twig of meaning to their life. And Jeremiah knew that it was his responsibility to tell these people that if you don't stop grasping at straws and grasp at the Almighty Heavenly Father, you will be destroyed worse than you already are. He was issuing a call to repent. To repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways. Yeah, Jeremiah was concerned because he knew that he was both a prophet of judgment and a prophet of salvation. He was not being called to be a motivational speaker that would get up and stand in front of a congregation of people and make them feel good. That was not his calling. He was being called to tell the people to repent. That they did have an option. That God would restore them. And that they would see God begin to rebuild Jerusalem. God wants to rebuild us today. He wants to restructure our lives. I have talked to people that it seemed like that they could not get over their past experiences. They couldn't get over what they saw in Vietnam. They could not get over what they went through in times of war. They could not get over their memories. But God can take us and He can reshape and He can remold us. And we can allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cover us completely and sanctify us and set us apart from the things of the world. We, as the Apostle Paul said, we will become a new creation. And that was Jeremiah's message to these people. He said, you've been destroyed. You've been hurt. You've had things come into your life that you can't overcome. But Jeremiah was saying to them, you can't do it, but God can. We can do all things today through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We're living in a time that all of us at one time or another feel under a tremendous pressure. We feel locked up by anxiety and worry. I have never seen so many people in my life. If you talk to somebody for 5 minutes, you're subject to hear the words, I'm just worried to death. Or I'm afraid of that. There are things that we need to have a hearty respect for. You do not go and stick your finger into the wall plug. So you respect the power of that electric current that's flowing through these plugs. But God is expecting us to use a little common sense. He's telling us that you don't have to worry. Yes, you have to worry about that wall plug. You got to have sense enough not to stick your finger in it. But you don't need to worry because I'm on your side. He's telling us don't let worry, don't let anxiety, don't let fear dominate your life. Because He is the solution. He is there for us 24/7. And all that He wants us to do. And Jeremiah told the children of Israel this in his prophecy. God said, tell the people to call out to God. Call out to God. When you're worried, when you are just overwhelmed with anxiety, the Lord invites us to simply call out to God. That's what the man and the woman did in that movie this morning. They called out to God. And guess what? He was there. I heard somebody say just this week that they had tried praying, but the more they tried to pray, the further away from God they seemed to get. That it just got them more upset whenever they tried to pray. When we call out to God, He hears us. He knows about everything that touches our life. He's concerned about our health. He's concerned about our marriages. He's concerned about our finances. God is concerned about every single thing that affects us. And all He wants us to do is to say, God, I can't, but You can. He wants us to turn to Him and call out to Him. He wants us to have a real conversation with Him. Sit down and talk to Him. That woman in that movie this morning, she sat down in her closet and she talked to God. And she cried and she said, God, I can't do this. I need help. How many times in the last year and a half have I said, God, I can't do this. I need Your help. And I feel like that God has blessed Bethel. God has blessed me, I know. And I pray that you have been blessed. Because when we cry out to God, He will intercede and He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. God loves us dearly. And He desires us to love Him in return. I remember a song that we sang when I was growing up. Give of your best to the Master. It's a song written by Mrs. Charles Bernard. Just as God wants us to have the best, we too must offer our very best to Him. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you shall be given. God, His beloved Son, gave, gratefully seeking to serve Him. Give Him the best that you have. Each of us today have been blessed with immeasurable gifts. They're all around us. Some gifts are in plain sight. And some we may not even realize that we have a gift. We may not even realize that that gift exists. But the important thing is to make use of the resources and the talents that we have. Don't squander them away today. Give it 100% and do it with a smile. Live each day of your life to the fullest. And call out to God. Just as Jeremiah did. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your love and for Your word and for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that something has been said this morning that we can hide in our heart that will cause us, Lord, to want to call out to You and to rededicate our lives to You anew and afresh, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of our life, Lord, we need to have that fire, that flame in our soul rekindled and reignited. Father, help us to call out to You. Help us to speak the words that You would have us to speak. And Lord, just be with us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.